cause you ain't drill no more. Free this shit fucked up, niggas telling on the guys, only I wanna drill no more. Only I wanna drill no more. Bitch, I would've bonded you out. You could've stayed at my house. We would've figured it out. This is the easiest route. I wonder when he getting out. Who we gon' hang with now? Man, this nigga dangerous now. He might end up taking me out. Taking me out. Might end up taking me down. Who feels safe if he around? Roll the mango like how they sound. Cause bitch, you came up on the ground. You be here with that take up you foul. Just be quiet, cause these niggas loud. Man, I don't know why he told no why. That boy was realer than the bitch, man. I don't know how he hold him. He could've hit them with the script, but he ain't sugarcoat. He told him what he told him. Oh, that was my brother, he broke me. Oh, gotta act like I don't know him. Don't call my phone no more.
What's up?
He told me now, nah, bro. Now, bitch, what you mind for? You had me crying, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I could've did that time, bro. Oh, you a witness now. The real estate
of what's
now.
Up? What's
you
up?
Bro, I heard they got you in that room. You put that business up.
What's
I
up?
Gave your ass some food, said you
what's up?
Now, sit your good ass down. Bitch, I would've bonded you out.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what up, everybody? What's going on? Welcome back to Black Culture the Breakdown. Hey, yo, my business isn't funny is today's title. We got a super dope lineup and we gonna get everybody in the building.
Yes!
Starting with XAB to give us the culture news, all right?
Yes!
There's a lot going on. There's a lot to celebrate. There's a lot to be happy for. There's a lot that's going on.
Yes!
We about to be in the... I know y'all be like that one. We about to be in the... What's going on, everybody? How we feeling, y'all? Welcome back to Black Culture the Breakdown. I am your boy Jersey. If you don't already follow me, please make sure you hit that follow button at The Only Jersey. All right, y'all, show me some love. That's right, show me some hearts. Throw it up. How y'all feeling? Viper, what up, bro? How we feeling? BBMG firm. I see you already in the building, yo. What up, David? What up? Hello, King. That's right. Elite NP5. What's up? How we feeling, everybody? Up, bro. Definitely up. That's up.
Yes.
Yes. The sound effects. The sound effects is a complete.
Yes.
I love them too. All right. This is what we hear about Black Culture the Breakdown. All right. So how we feeling, everybody? We're going to get XAB on the live and we're going to get everything going and we're going to get this culture. All right. How we feeling, everybody? Hey, XAB. Come on, man. Get everything popping. What's up, bro?
What's going on, broski?
Welcome back to Black Culture the Breakdown. You already know the vibes, man.
Of course, of course.
So, there's a lot going on in media, man. How are we feeling today, bro?
I mean, I'm feeling great. I know that, you know, there's a lot to celebrate. And I know we have, as you started the show off with, a little bit of some sad news to also cover as well. But there's a lot to celebrate. I don't give a fuck about none of these Trump supporters at this point right now.
Nope.
I tried to be cordial throughout the election, but at this point, I done seen so much buffoonery that I don't care. And that goes for the black Trump supporters especially, because y'all really been bugging out. But, yeah, there's a lot to celebrate.
There's definitely a lot to celebrate. XAB, you talking a lot of points already. You hitting them.
I'm here to talk spicy today.
Yeah.
I'm with all the smoke.
But before we get into it, man, I just came out right now to King Von, and we got to definitely just, you know, pay a little RIP and respects to the young king that passed away, bro. Kind of give us the breakdown on that, man, real quick.
Absolutely. So King Von was a up-and-coming rapper from the Chi area. You could basically, for those who don't know, you could kind of compare him to the Chi-Town's version of Pop Smoke. A very, very prominent up-and-coming rapper. And unfortunately, over the weekend, he went to a club. He has a little bit of beef in the hood, and he went to the club. And a rival group, kind of him and them, got into a little altercation, and one of the individuals shot him, and he died. So very unfortunate. Music lost another one for 2020. And, you know what I mean? As much as we have things to celebrate, like I said, there's some things that we got to change when it comes to our community and what we glorify. I love King Von's music, and he was known for talking about his experience. But unfortunately, he also lost his life to those experiences.
Damn, man, which is crazy. Yeah, I was actually getting a chance to just vibe out to some of his music when he passed, and I was like, yo, he's actually mad talented. And, you know,
really
like,
good artist.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's just crazy that we just get caught up and caught up with stuff that's irrelevant. Just figure out how to feed your family and disregard everything else, you understand? But people are trying to live the life that they singing in the music, so then I guess it becomes a contradictory if they feel like they're not living that life.
Well, I think in this case, you know, with Pop Smoke and King Von, is they actually were living that type of lifestyle. They just ended up getting into the music business. And I think in those instances, it's the responsibility of the people who are in their circle that are connected to the business, that are helping them with these deals, to kind of remove them from those circumstances that allow them to be that close to the street.
Yes.
Still, you cannot be successful and still be that close to the streets. No matter how much you want to consider yourself a real whatever,
yes,
real OG, real person, whatever the case you want it may be, when you get to a certain level, your brand, your identity, and who you are is too big for you to still be doing street stuff. And unfortunately, it will catch up and it'll be in a situation where you're not expecting it.
Yes. X, you're talking straight facts, my brother. You mean, I don't even gotta even elaborate, because everybody in the comments is saying, good point, X. BBMG firm is saying, preach, my brother. That's a complete
yes.
All right. RIP to King Von, man. And it's just a sad situation. I hope that we don't lose any more to gun violence and just, you know, this kind of craziness before the year's up. Like, let's just all chill out for the rest of the year, please. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and for all of us, for us young, up-and-coming, amazing Black individuals, we have to just do better as a community to keep ourselves accountable to the ideals that we are asking for and the ideals that we feel we deserve. It's not that, it's not a matter of there not being circumstances that put us in particular situations where we are fighting each other, killing each other, and hurting each other. But we've recognized that, and we need to start moving towards a point where we are healing it. It doesn't matter who's in office, and we're going to get to that, I know. But it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat, if it's a Republican, if it's a conservative or progressive in office, we still need to take accountability for our communities. Can't nobody change our communities like the people in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, that'll never be the case. And so whatever's happening at the top, it does matter. Like, this election yes. mattered. There's a lot of people out here who want you to think that there's no difference between who was in office. That's not true. But what I am also saying is, you want to see immediate impact? It's about what we do in the community. It might be as simple as seeing a young boy about to make a bad decision and stopping them and having a conversation with them. It might be about seeing a group of individuals dealing in things that you know is not going to work out a certain type of way and just stopping them. So at the end of the day, my main thing from this King Von situation is we need to start really, truly tending to our communities. And that's not about putting blame on us for our circumstances, because we all know why we are in the pot that we're in. But it's also about recognizing that and then saying, all right, we know that we got a large hill to climb, but let's start climbing it.
Yes!
Bro, you talking straight facts in here, all right?
I'm here today, bro.
Lotus Creations is saying absolutely true. Change comes through community. BBMG firm is already saying, say that, because it's complete facts. It definitely takes us, it takes a village, it takes the community to really pull us all along. Look at how the Jewish people do it. You understand? They take each other along. They circle the money. Even if they're enemies, they still circle that money before they make it touch anybody else that's not the insider. So we need to kind of figure out how to make ourselves the insider with our own communities and really start to push ourselves forward. And I think we would definitely make the change. Now, I will say that we already started making a change with President Joe Biden elect. For the win, you know, let's talk to us about that. With record-breaking numbers of people coming out to vote, Talk to us about that, bro.
This was one of the craziest elections in modern time, modern history. Yeah. So it all started Tuesday night, as most of us know, as we all sat around the TV and put on our favorite news channel and watched as these electoral college votes were going here, there, and everywhere. I have to be honest with you, brother. I was watching it, and it wasn't looking good in the beginning. It was looking kind of one-sided, like we was about to get 8 years of Donald Trump. Uh-huh. And I don't know about y'all, but that concerned me. Not so much because of, quote-unquote, as people like to make it seem, Black people are forced to vote Democratic, because I consider myself independent with more liberal viewpoints. But it was about fascism. And I think that that's the main point for me, that a lot of people want to kind of go over. They want to talk about all this minutia that has nothing to do with nothing. And it's really, truly about the fact that our country was sliding into a fascist state.
Yes.
And so what people need to understand is that we are in a democratic republic, which means that it's not fully democratic. We still elect people to represent us, which makes it a republic. However, with that, our voice is still heard to some extent. You may want to believe in whatever conspiracy theories about people being picked, and I'm not going to take that from you. Do you. Mm-hmm. But I have a different perspective on it. And with that being said, we have to understand that our democracy is not a given. Mm-hmm. And we take it for granted. We think because we lived in America, and America has been America since we've been in it, with all of its challenges and problems, mm-hmm. we know that America is not perfect. But at the end of the day, it's still a free democratic republic. And so when you start to slide into a space where the person in power makes it so that the only news source that you can believe is from them, because everybody else is lying, nobody's telling the truth, and all of the power that needs to come from that particular top. We're talking about fascism. We're talking about dictatorships. We're talking about being in a space that none of us have ever been in, but America has always had the potential to slide into. And so I think that was on the ballot, as well as morality. I had put out a post earlier in the week on Tuesday, and I said, your morality is on the ballot. And so Tuesday night, you wasn't just voting for a president. You wasn't voting for who you liked and who you didn't like. I think one of the things about this election that's very different from previous ones is people were more involved in the political process. So they got to see that they didn't like certain things about certain candidates, and it turned them off. It put a distasteful taste in their mouth. And that's understandable, because normally with elections, people tend to vote based off of who they like. Likeability. Likeability is normally the number one factor with pollsters when they poll people regarding who they picked and why. And in this case, it's like you start to dig into certain things and you don't like who you see on the ballot. However, you got to understand, these politicians are not perfect. They're human just like us. They make mistakes. They say stupid things. They have jobs where they make decisions that 20 years later, you may not like what the decision was 20 years before. You know what I'm saying? And so when you looked at the ticket, and if you wanted to vote for anything, it was for your morality and the morality of this country. We had 70 million people vote for a racist, openly racist, bigoted president versus someone who may not be perfect on race. Their pitch may not be 100% on race, but they're willing to listen, learn, adapt, and change. So that was the difference.
Yes.
So were you okay with 4 years of people going into other people's communities and calling them all types of bigoted names? Were you okay with open racist and them feeling emboldened to be able to call you certain things and you not be able to say anything or you just have to take it? Were you okay with police brutality getting to the point that it was and there being no type of repercussion? Because if you were okay with that, then Donald Trump maybe was for you. But if you wanted to vote for your morality, this is the last point I'm going to make, because I know you got other guests. But with fascist states, what they do is they always start with the community that has the least amount of power. Y'all have to follow me with this one. All right. So what Donald Trump did was he started with illegal aliens who have no power in this country. So you can bully, demonize them, and turn them into others solely because they don't really have rights. They're technically illegal. However, that's where it starts. As you notice, it then moved to Muslims, right? Which is a religion, okay?
Yes.
And because he was bigoted, that religion was used to then tell a certain group of people they couldn't come. We're going to ban you from these countries because these are Muslim countries. So now again, right? 90% of America, or if not more, is not Muslim. And so you look at that and you say, well, this doesn't really affect me. It's wrong, but it doesn't affect me. And so you let it slide. And then what happens? Now you start to see it trickle into other things. Now you see him coming for women's rights. Now you see there being certain things about the policing and the justice system that is not going to be changed under his administration. And so another 8 years of that, you start to slide into the things that I spoke about before, which is fascism and things like that. So it doesn't matter if it doesn't affect you directly, it will at some point. And so you can't let someone bully a community that doesn't have power and just be okay with it. Your morality was always on the ballot with this election.
Absolutely. X, you definitely give us a helpful with that. So we got to clap it up for that. Okay? Now, man, everything you said was straight facts. And, man, we are definitely out of time, but you are completely on the money. So, man, tell everybody where they can find you. And we're going to definitely get you on here to talk about round two next week on Black Culture Breakdown.
You already know, bro. So you can go up to the top. You can click on my name, Creator X. I talk about politics and entertainment on my podcast called Dad Has Some Bow Ties. We release new episodes every Tuesday. You know we'll be talking about the election this Tuesday. But follow me. I love to get acquainted to new people. And I'm out, Jersey. Have an amazing show. Take care.
Of course, bro. Appreciate you, man.
Later.
All right. All right, y'all. So that was XAB giving y'all the culture news. Woo! XAB don't play no games, all right? He gets to the... All right? He definitely was not playing. No, we got to clap it up for that. All right? Let me get Dr. S on the line. Come on, giving us our mental check-ins. Y'all know how we got to do our mental check-ins. We ain't seen Dr. S in a minute. But let's have him call in. Dr. S? There we go. What up, man?
What's going on?
Welcome back to the show, man.
I'm glad to be back. I was tuned in, listening to all the jewels that was dropped on that last segment. That was great.
Man, that was XAB giving us the coaching news, man, like he does every episode. And you know, it's just, you know, like I said, our mental health is so important. You know, we have you come in to give us our check-ins, and you can see that everybody was so disturbed by the election and so in an erupt feelings of, you know, like uncontrollable feelings. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the fusion of just the George Floyd mixing with the election, with the COVID, which is so much, you know, that does on the mentals. You understand?
Sure, definitely.
So I want to just dive into that now. Dr. S, not only do you do, you know, therapy, and you also a businessman, correct?
All day, every day. I'm in private practice. I've been in private practice since 2008. So I've been going strong.
Okay. So now, let me ask you this. Dr. S, is we looking like we're losing some connection here. What's going on?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. There we go. I see you. Oh, the comments is talking. They said, "Love Dr. S. His post helps me get through each day with my mind gets the best of me. When my mind gets the best of me, Dr. S, you got Brooklyn Lotus Creations is definitely bigging you up. What's up? Gifted Apparel. How are you feeling?
Appreciate it.
Definitely. Now let's dive into this question real quick, Dr. S. As a businessman, how does our mental health affect us? Now, let's talk about you real quick. How does your mental health affect you as a businessman? And then apply it to maybe how it can affect other people.
Well, I know for me right away, it's like the stress of running a business. So many times you have to make choices and decisions based off like the financials, but also based off of your own dreams and goals and things you're aspiring to accomplish. So if I know for me personally, sometimes I feel the weight of just like, you know, especially in 2020, how do I pivot? Sometimes you got to pivot to be able to continue that progress and that growth. And like anybody else, like an entrepreneur in any business, you have your ups and you have your downs, you have your peaks and you have your valleys. So sometimes when I get in those valleys, it's tough, man. It's sort of like you feel like the weight, you feel like sometimes should I back out of certain things I'm doing? Should I like, you know, fold it in this area and pick it up on this area? So, but again, it's not just about you, because if you're taking care of family or, you know, have a partner or you got kids to take care of, and you're like a big source of that, that's a lot of weight and pressure that's on you. That's for anybody running a business. So it gets lonely sometimes when you're trying to make those decisions and choices. So you just got to keep pushing forward, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. So now talk to me about now your books and how like you balance, you know, how you're a businessman with doing the therapy versus now being an author versus now you have a podcast. And I want to talk to you about your podcast in a second that you're doing. But, you know, you're in business, you're in grind mode, and you're in multiple streams of income mode, right? How do you balance that mentally, and how do you stay stable? A lot of us right now are doing a million things at once. We're trying to hustle in many different ways. What are some tips and some tools to keep us all steady, and how do you keep yourself steady with that?
Okay, so just like I do in therapy, my biggest thing is to make decisions and choices around peace and relaxation. So if you keep peace and relaxation like primary in the work that you do, that peace grounds you during the midst of the storm. So like, for example, 2020 has been like a crazy year for everybody. But what I focused is on my inward peace, because I knew it was external things I couldn't control. But the one thing I could control is my peace from within. So a lot of times I just like, we couldn't go outside. So I was like, you know what? I got to turn on the inside, even when it comes to my business, because I couldn't forget my why. And that's my number one thing for people. Don't forget your why. Why are you doing this? You know, what is this all about? That's how you stay grounded, because you never want to get too far away from what brought you here. What was the thing that sort of led you to get to this point? So that's my number one tip. That's the thing that I use when I'm trying to balance it, my books or the podcast or my practice.
Yes.
And I feel like things are getting rocky and crazy. I step back. Like I really pull back and say, like, what is this all about? Like, why am I doing this for? And that's sort of my grounding technique. So from there, once I get settled in and remember why I'm doing all this, then I could just make better choices and decisions. Sometimes you just gotta back out and regroup and reset. And I think that's a primary thing that I use. And I think that could be helpful for people too.
Back out, regroup, and reset. You gotta put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because that's definitely straight facts. Let's clap it up on that. Yes, man, definitely always dropping jewels. And it's literally all about literally just resetting whenever I feel like you're tackling way too many things at once. So thank you again for reminding us of that real quick.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What are some tools that we can do to make smarter decisions in stressful situations? You know, as a businessman, I'm sure you know you got sometimes a situation that you need to make now. And you know, you want to make sure that you are in a steady mindset to make swift decisions that make sense. What are some tools that we should do, and what are some signs we should look out for when not to make decisions?
So in a business, you know that I agree. Sometimes you got to make decisions on the fly. One thing I don't like is when we make decisions out of a base of fear, right? Or anxiety. That's a different approach there. That's sort of like making decisions when you're playing defense, you know, and you're on the defense. I like when people make decisions when they're like confident in deciding this is what I'm going to do. And no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. Because for the most part, people that hustle, entrepreneurs, they know how to get it back. So when you make a decision and you got to live with that choice, and no matter what, if it doesn't go right, I know that I'm going to be okay in the end. Another thing I love is an accountability team or a group of people. And that doesn't mean that somebody's in your business with you. I just think that it's sometimes you need that mentor or that person, or it might be your boy or your girl, somebody you could just talk to and just get a word of encouragement or share with them that decision and see what they say. And you might need that person on the fly. So keep your circle tight and keep some good people around you, good energy, because that energy sort of feeds off into the decisions that you make. And whatever choice you make, be okay with living with it. No regrets in this world, you know, in the work that we do. You got to keep it moving.
Listen, that's as you always come on here and talk them straight facts. You heard?
Yes.
Right. I like what somebody said, faith, not fair. Faith not fair. I love that.
It back out, regroup, reset. And I think that is definitely something that's going to stick with a lot of people, you know, because this stick is still in my head right now, you know what I'm saying? Now, one more question, Dr. S, before, you know, we jump into your podcast real quick. How, when you're in the best state to make business decisions, and then when should you reevaluate?
I think you're in the best state to make business decisions when, and I'm going to say it again, when you're calm and stress-free. The top entrepreneurs and business people, you know, I always talk about self-care. But self-care, again, should be something that you do, you know, here and there. Keeping your, you need to keep your cup full whenever you can. So a lot of times we need to see ourselves so kind of refilling that cup constantly.
Yes.
Because when that cup is almost empty and we're trying to make decisions, we more than likely, our judgment is off. Emotionally, we're off. You know, logically, we might not be the best place. But when our cup is full, people are getting that overflow of intelligence, that overflow of smart decisions, decisiveness. So that's what I think. I think people need to focus on their self-care. And good business people do that, too. It's not, it's a lifestyle. It's not even a here and there.
Absolutely. Man, Dr. S, you dropping straight facts, man. Come on. Now, before we go, man, I would love for you to talk about your podcast and whatever else you got going on, man. One thing about you, you're always moving and grooving and always got something new happening. So talk to us about what's next for Dr. S.
Well, as you know, the podcast is really for the people, man. It's about mental health and wellness, because I know I want people to be able to get the nuances of mental health and healing. But just clicking a link and turning on something, listening for 20, 30 minutes, something that can encourage you, inspire you, you know, something that's, that can push you. You know, we talk about different topics, from triggers, gaslighting, to self-care, healing, you know, why we put walls up. So many different topics we about mental health and wellness. That's what it's all about in the podcast. So people can just click on my link in my bio, and they can tune in every single, you know, like every week I try to drop something.
Wow, super dope, Dr. S. Well, man, we're going to definitely support you on that. So appreciate you coming on the show, man. And let everybody know where they can find you.
As always, just click the link above. You'll see Doc S. Follow me, connect with me. As I always tell people, DM me. I'm happy to connect with people if they have questions about mental health, wellness, healing. And as always, can I plug the book? Because I love people to get this work. I got two books out right now. You know, Good Mornings, Wake Up Calls for Life. Just easy reads for people. You can get on Amazon. This is Daily Affirmations. And then a new one that's dropped, Good Vibes with Dr. S. It's all for our people. You know, all for our people's healing, wellness. I care about y'all. I love y'all. Take care of yourselves. And as always, I'm happy to be here. It's just a dope show, man. I appreciate the love always. Love what you're doing.
Appreciate you, man. And we're going to definitely chop it up again soon. Thanks for coming and giving us our mental health check-in, Dr. S. We appreciate you. We'll talk soon, bro.
Next time. Peace. Have a great show.
Thank you, bro. All right, y'all. So that was Dr. S giving us our mental check-ins. He always comes in ever so often. We ain't had him in a while, though. But Dr. S blessed us with some of that real quick. That's right. Dr. S being the money. All right. Clayton, one more person before you ask you again. I got to get my man's Boss Black on the line and talk about his management firm, and that you're going to be on Clayton. We're just a little behind, but we're here for Black Culture to break down, everybody. What's happening, man? Welcome to Black Culture to Breakdown, bro.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Thanks for having
me. Hey, welcome to the show, man. So, so now let me talk to you about this, man. So you are a manager, entertainment manager. So tell the people who you are and what exactly you do.
My name is Boss Black. I own a BB management firm, home to, I guess, what everybody, one of the big groups that the world would know, It's Stanky Leg, the GS Boys.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh Boy Prince. And I dealt with other artists as well, as far as in my time being in this game for over 15 years.
Okay. All right, Boss Black. So now talk to us now about what it takes to actually be a manager, right? I think a lot of people see entertainers in the forefront, but they don't understand that there's a team that helps these entertainers be in the forefront, right? Talk to us about what a manager actually does.
A manager does a variety of things. It depends on what part, but I mean, for one, a manager is like a babysitter. that's like the babysitter, you know? But I mean, a manager is the person that really handles a lot of artists' business in the far as help further their career. Artists wouldn't be on BET or anything else, a lot of these other things, if they don't have the right person far as representing them, in addition far as the relationships with these other entities to help further their careers.
Okay. So now, let me ask you this. Now, how important is talent when you're a manager? How important is your client having talent? How important is that?
It's extremely important. I mean, because if an artist is not talented, you put your name, your brand out there to represent that person. And so you got to have talent. I mean, that's first and foremost, you got to have talent. You know, and it's at least not on my end. I'm not representing nobody that don't have talent.
Yeah.
All right. That's a complete fact. There's a lot of people out here that are very successful that has no talent. Okay.
Yes.
But you know, they must have a good team behind them that, you know, and be able to get them to where they're at. So now, I want to you now into just the integrity of how you do business. How important is talent to you, or is talent not a factor if they have a brand already?
Talent is very important to me. Me personally, I don't care if a person has a brand already. They could be making money. Being in the game over 15 years, you know, what I can say, I done turned down a lot of talented people, but I mean, it's, you got to have talent. You got to be humble and ready to work.
All right. Super dope. Now let's now go into social media real quick, boss. How important is social media in terms of having a career in entertainment? How important, now you manage, you know, a few artists, how important is social media to them in having a career?
Man, social media is extremely important. I was just having a conversation the other day with one of my clients, Alex, and talking the other day, and I stress with a lot of my clients, as far as your social media is key to everything now. I mean, considering far as 15 years ago, their social media really didn't exist. Now, social media can make you or break you.
Yeah.
Get exposure. Social media is the key. Period. You have to have social media. No social media, and if you're not active on social media, you're not going to go anywhere.
So now, let me ask you this. Now, say you're super talented, but you have no social media presence, the complete opposite of what happens to a lot of our people, you know, our brown brothers and sisters that are very talented. We all know that one girl in the hood that could really sing, right? But don't nobody ain't ever going to see her because she doesn't post on social media or doesn't know what branding is. What would you say to, you know, that girl or that boy that's listening right now that know they can sing or know they have talent to rap and they just don't have a social media presence? How do they get started?
Google.
Yes.
You don't know how to do something, Google has all your answers. Google and YouTube, find everything on there, period. So there's no excuse.
That's right. That one was free of charge from Boss Black, all right?
Yes.
All right. So now let me ask you this. What advice would you give to somebody that wants to get into management? I don't really know a lot of people that I meet along my way, you know, wants to be a star. So, to be behind the scenes, it takes a special individual. What advice would you give to someone that maybe want to, you know, be a manager and don't know how to get into the game? What advice would you give somebody?
Study. Study. Nowadays, when I first got in it, I got in the entertainment industry at 18 years old, right? And I didn't have any knowledge whatsoever, not, you know, far as the study, far as in regards to the business side of things. So I would say if you want to get into this industry now, as far as management, to study. You know, study, the sky's the limit. Because by studying, you're able to learn a lot of things. And true enough, you're going to have to get hands-on experience. But find somebody who's been in the game, because there are a few of us out here who don't mind taking somebody up under our wing and coaching them to help them get to where they're trying to go.
Absolutely, man. Yes. That's what it's about. It's networking across, man, and putting these brown brothers and sisters on. Man, now, if people are trying to get, you know, get you to represent them, what should they do? Well, how should they present themselves? For the last question, you know, there's a lot of pipe artists that's looking at the live right now, or that's going to watch it later on. And they'd be like, yo, how can I get management? How can I make myself look marketable so, you know, PR want to represent me, management wants to represent me, and so I can start getting a better look? What are some of the tools that you can give, some gems you could drop?
Nowadays, as far as having a great social media presence, you have a great social media presence as far as management.
Yes.
In addition, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray that I see you. Pray that I find you. Or pray that somebody that's in management finds you or sees you. You know, period, point blank.
Period, point blank, boss. Man, you a dope, man. Appreciate you coming on here and dropping straight. Damn it.
Real quick before I get out of here.
Yes.
That come on your show, man. I've been watching you, man. Much love, much respect to you. And I need everybody to make sure that they go check out Old Boy Prince's new single, Round Rock, and stream that for me. I need that. And I got some big things coming, too, in just a minute.
Okay, listen, make sure I run that up. Old Boy Prince was on here last weekend and doing that Round Rock. Yeah, make sure I run that. And I know he got that cleanup out now, right?
Oh, man, cleanup is out now, but we're getting ready to drop next week. We're getting ready to drop a record called She Got That Wobble, which if you thought Round Rock was dope, you thought Clean Up was dope, when you hear She Got That Wobble, I'm going to tell you, it's going to pass Stanky Leg up. It's going to be the biggest record out. I promise you.
Okay, we ready for that. We ready for that. Yo, boss, appreciate you coming on here, man.
Much love, man.
Of course, man, and giving us straight gems, man. We're going to definitely see you soon again. Don't be a stranger on the show, bro.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. All right, Charles, and that was Boss from BBMG and Management. So we're going to get the Mr. CT on the line. All right. But make sure y'all tune in. It's Black Culture The Breakdown. CT, you hear the answer? You hear the call? Hey, what up, bro?
How are you, man?
Welcome to
the
live, man. Welcome to
Black. Thanks, man. I love the sound effects. Sounds great.
Yes.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. The sound effects is definitely what gives us a little bit of edge here on the show. Man, I already see you got your is that your merch, your hat?
Oh, yeah. Hat, hoodie, all the time.
All right, man. Talk to us about, before we even get started, tell the people who you are, man, and what you do, and even the merch that you got on. Start with the promo.
Hey, man, CT, brother, you know what I mean? I am a comedian above everything else. So, I create my own content. I'm on a couple TV shows, and I am but a hardworking brother. That's all that is. And the merchandise, IamClaytonThomas.com profile. You can hit the link, see so many different designs that you want to see. Man.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show again, man. So you already coming out swinging with the merch on deck. That's what we're talking about, Brandon. The management was just on here just now, and he, you know, and he just talked about being prepared and just having your branding and everything together. Mm-hmm. You're already talking, and we're gonna dive into that because you built a really big brand for yourself, and just, you know, we're able to kind of, you know, build a following. You were able to successfully be on TV, and you just utilize a lot of platforms. Even during COVID, I've seen that you utilize StreamYard and all these different platforms that you kind of own your own platform in a way.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we're going to definitely talk about all of that stuff and all these content creators that are probably tuning in right now that definitely want to get into all of this. But first, let's talk about how you got into the game, man. Bring it back to the beginning. How did CT get into the game?
Interestingly, man, in 2004, senior year of high school, and there was a comedy show coming to my school. I was the president of like all the clubs I was in. I was the president of the drama club, president of broadcast arts club, chess club, and I had never played chess. It was just like the leadership qualities of being able to get into a position. And they brought a comedy show to the school, and I was able to go backstage to talk to the group of comedians. And one of the comedians that I went up to immediately, rest in peace, is Kool-Aid from Detroit. And I said, hey, man, you know, I do stand up. And they're like, oh, really? Okay, where you perform? And I just made up a place that I performed, hoping to, you know, not have to really get caught up in my lie. And at that moment, they challenged me like, yo, well, why don't you go perform right now? Open the show up. And I'm like, yeah, all right, man, I'll do it. It's in front of my class, right? Class is about 500 kids that are in this gym. And, you know, of course, I had no professional jokes. So the first thing I did was I made fun of our security guard, and they laughed, and they laughed one good time. And I was like, all right, let's keep the show going. And after that point, got Kool-Aid's number, kept in contact with the man, Melvin Bender, and then just continued to perform in Detroit. And after performing in Detroit, there was a competition, or not really a competition, there was a showcase. Jamie Foxx was doing Laugh-A-Palooza down in Atlanta. And this is 2 years later down in Atlanta. And the cost was like $175. And I had no money. And I, the guy who was putting it together was like, hey, man, if you call enough people, you can get the money. I'm like, cool. So I reach out to every girl that I was fucking with at the time. And I said, hey, can you help me get down here? You say you believe in me. Can you help me? And I had reached out to maybe like, I had a list of maybe like five girls I was about to reach out to. Mm-hmm. And two women who are my friends to this day were mm-hmm. like, yo, here. Like, they both took care of it. I get down there and I caught the Greyhound. Like, every other comedian was, you know, flying and driving. I didn't have a car. So I got on the Greyhound, 16 hours from Detroit to Atlanta. And they had a money in the bank policy. And with this policy, if you got chosen, they would give you the $175 back. So they gave us the money back, and I didn't expect that. But I was like, oh, this is perfect. So I got the money, and I'm like, all right, this is going to help me eat for the rest of the weekend, right? So all the other comedians, I'm introducing myself, and everybody who knows me, even if you don't know me, the first thing I always did when I met somebody is I introduced myself. Hey, how you doing? CT, nice to meet you. You know, I'm from Detroit, blah, blah, blah. Because so many people have this fear and this ego that they won't introduce themselves. They say, nah, you know what I'm saying? You got to come to me. I ain't about to kiss nobody's ass. And it's not kissing nobody's ass if you're introducing yourself, you're networking, building a relationship. So the weekend is going on, and my only goal was to meet Jamie Foxx. That was my only goal. I was like, I know at that time I wasn't about to become some millionaire comedian. I just wanted to meet Jamie Foxx and tell him how much I, you know, appreciated him and how much he influenced me. He and Martin Lawrence are the reasons that I'm a comedian. So in the weekend comes, we perform New Faces stuff, and Jamie is at this big, I think it's Center Stage or something in Atlanta. So I sneak backstage and I run into Big Boy from Outkast, Boris Kojo, all these people that I'm like, I would be really glad to meet them if I didn't have a goal of meeting Jamie, right? Mm-hmm. So I go back there, and I had been talking to security and Jamie's team all weekend, just know Jamie. So they had been familiar with me, and I'm like, hey, man, hey, Fox in there? They're like, yeah, go ahead. I'm like, cool. Whew, heart beating through my chest. I get inside. And I see Jamie just like holding court with a bunch of people, and everybody's, you know, just having a good time because this is Jamie. I get in, I see Marcus King, I see Greg Shelton, rest in peace, who his brothers are Tony Jordan and Howie Bell in Detroit, who were like big brothers to me in comedy. So it's all kind of full circle, right? And I get in there and then I say, hey guys, I just wanted to get a, you know, just come in and say what's up. They're like, yeah, man. Fox comes out. I say, Fox, I got to tell you, man, it is an honor to meet you, dude. I'm a comedian in Detroit. I'm going to make it. I know you hear that from a lot of people, but the difference is I'm going to. And go ahead.
So Jamie Foxx, and you just now talking. But now, was he kind of like receptive to you, or was he kind of like, who's this cat coming up in here now trying to talk to me? And you were excited to meet him, but was he just excited back to meet you?
He was very nice. It wasn't like he was a jerk or anything. He was very nice. And, you know, like when you, like at that time, I was 20 years old. So my energy is here, you know what I mean? And he met me like right around here, which is cool. And I was like, hey man, would it be okay if I got a picture with you? He was like, yeah, yeah, man, just let me get changed and everything and I'll take a picture with you. And I didn't know if that was like a way to get the security to get me out the room or whatever. I didn't know if it was gonna really happen. So I was like, I stopped and I was like, hey man, even if you don't take the picture with me, man, it was an honor to meet you. And he was like, nigga, I got to come outside. And then everybody laughed and I laughed and I was like, all right, man, you know, you never know. So he comes out and I'm walking behind him and it's him, it's me, and it's the cameraman directly behind me, right? So we're walking and Jamie stops. So when he stops, I bump into him, the cameraman bumps into me, and the cameraman is looking like, ugh. And I'm like, nigga, it was Fox. It wasn't me. It was him. I didn't stop. So we keep walking. We get outside to like the limos. And this is 2006. This is when like flip phones were out, right? So I say, Fox, can we get that picture? He's like, yeah, man, get your camera, man. Get your shit. I was like, all right, cool. And there's this like this person right here. I'm expecting security to take it from me, but I know they ain't going to take it. So there's a person in front of me. I say, hey, can you take this picture, please? They were like, yeah. They take the picture. I dap him up. He gets in a limo. He drives off. I look at the phone. It's the blurriest picture I've ever seen in my life. And I say to myself, this is why you don't ask random people to take pictures, because they're not going to do it how you would do it for them, right? So anyway, fast forward to all the boring stuff. That was October. So May into 2007, I tell my mom, I say, listen, I'm going to go to New York. I'm going to go to Chicago. I'm going to go to Atlanta. And then I'm going to take all that money that I saved and I'm going to move to LA because, you know, this is what I've been working for. This is why I dropped out of school. Like, I have to make it. And she says, okay. All right. So my birthday comes up May 9th. This is like a week or two later. My mom.
How important does having to make it is to making it for you? You know, some people like, you know, I want to make it, but some people really live that. By the way, shout out to Tangerines in the building.
Yeah.
All right. So, talk to us about how important is it to really making it and really sticking to it.
Well, here's the thing, man. Honest to God, making it is what you decide it is. Like, there was different points for me of making it. Like when I was 20, making it was paying my bills from stand-up comedy, right? When I was 25, it was being on TV on a regular basis and having a truck, right? At 30, it was going to London as a vacation and not having to work. And now here at 34, making it is owning a home and not having to worry about bills and taking care of family and being able to continue the lifestyle that I've created for myself. So I think it's always been important, but I think the levels of importance change as you grow in your career and as a man or a woman.
Mm. So now, I think that's super important that you just even said that, because you said you just, as you get older, your goals change. Now, let's talk about people real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how important are having the right people in your life towards reaching your goals? And when do you feel like, all right, maybe it's time to start shedding certain people because I can't grow because they keep pulling me back? Talk to us about that and if you ever had to encounter that through your climbing your career.
Tangerine, that's hilarious. I do pay all these bills. Anyway, for me, I think originally it was like, you know, you want to have as many friends as you possibly can. You want to make sure that I wanted to be the life of the party. I wanted everybody to love me, even though my mom always told me everybody ain't gonna always like you. And then I encountered something in my early 20s that was devastating to me as a man. And, you know, in your career where you're just like, man, you don't know who's your friend and who's not your friend. And going through a situation like that and situations like that, I was really blessed to see the group of people that love me, believe in me, and are my friends no matter what in the world. So those core people I still have to this day, because people who are your friends when it's not popular to be are truly your friends for a lifetime. Like when the bottles are popping, everybody wants to be around you. But when you can't pay for gas money to be taken down the street, you get a chance to really know who's in your corner. So I think the right people definitely matter, and I have all of those people around me.
Yes.
Man, you're talking all the straight facts, man. And as you're saying it, I'm sure everybody's clapping right here. They say, I'm so proud of you, CT. They giving you hands.
Yeah.
That, all right? So, man, because it's completely true. So now let's talk about this. What is it important to be great at what you do? Why is it important to be great at what you do? Like, you're a comedian. I know you do voiceover now. You're on TV and you do the acting. Now, even though you do the StreamYard and you're doing your work on it on Instagram Live, it's still, you're like a facilitator. You're still organizing, you're moderating. Mm-hmm. A lot of work that goes on behind the back end of a show. You know, so how important is it to be dope and be good at what you do and be kept up out here? Talk to us about it.
Well, to talk about those things, man, like, for example, even I've seen you mention StreamYard. Tangerine is the reason for all of that. Like, I don't think anybody, I know you've done some things on stream, like, nobody would even know what this was if it wasn't for her telling me how to operate it or seeing her example. But for me, it's...
Yes!
It's a completely different thing, because being great at what you do is the focus. Because if you focus on needing people to give you your accolades or your credit, you're not focusing on the work. And I think I was able to, I try to be as humble as I can nowadays, but in my 20s, I was probably the cockiest person you ever want to meet, because I didn't relate that to the work. Like, I was like, I'm dope. I work so hard. I'm the best. Why can't people see me as that? And I think those two things are so completely different. Either you're going to be really good or you're going to get all this credit. Sometimes you're both, but mm-hmm. you have to be able to be okay with just being one or the other. And if you're just good with the work, all the rest of the stuff will come. But if you focus too much on chasing the respect of, let's say, your peers or the audience to tell you the best, when they make lists about who the funniest comedian is, if you're not on it, you're angry because you're too focused on the fame of it than the work. Like, so now where I am, I know how great I am, but at the same time, I can acknowledge the people who are famous or more famous than I am or less famous or whatever, but the work is all that matters, because 20 years from now, I can still do this because I got the talent. Yeah. This stuff fades. You know, you could be famous today and not tomorrow.
Yes.
You talking straight facts. You talking straight facts. You giving out. All right. you giving them the killers out here, and he's dropping them for free. So make sure y'all definitely tune in. CT, if you are not actually gifted at what you do, but you want to be in something, how important is practicing your craft, right? Mm. Some people, I'm a choreographer, I'm a creative director, I choreograph, I work with a lot of different artists, a lot of artists that can't dance, but put the work in, and they know in order to be successful, you want a dope visual, you got to put the work in the studio, and then it'll translate on the camera. Now, I'm sure it's a different tool, but probably still similar in terms of just being with the comedy and just memorizing your lines, just strengthening your tool as an actor. Mm-hmm. How important is just really gravitating through that?
It's so important, man, because like I said, you have to, the work ethic. You look at Keanu Reeves. Mm-hmm. Keanu Reeves is famously known as not being the greatest actor in people's eyes, right? However, he's consistently working. He's extremely great to be around from the people who say they've worked with him. And that shows the work ethic. If you want abs, you're not going to get abs just because you go get the surgery. Oh, you got abs. Or, oh, you do two sit-ups a day or whatever. The work ethic is what's going to get you there. Everything I've ever accomplished is because I showed up. It's not because I showed up and said, hey, y'all, I'm the best. Give me the job. I showed up. I can't tell you how many, let's take me as a writer. I can't tell you how many times I've been in writer's rooms and been the lowest guy on the totem pole and just been like, all right, well, I'm going to get better tomorrow. And then days come, and then before you know it, now I'm the head writer, or now I'm trusted with these responsibilities or these writers, or I get an opportunity to work on this show or that show. It's because you put the time in. Then let's take it to comedy. You're not funny today as far as this audience is concerned, but tomorrow you could be funny for a second. And a producer sees you and pairs you up with some writers and some camera people and directors. And now all of a sudden you're comedy's biggest hit. So it's really more so about your work ethic. If you are the person who's not willing to give up, you're going to make it. You show up every day. I always say it's progress, not perfection. If you get up every single day and show up, you're going to get something. It's just a fact.
That's, you listen. Okay, and he was dropping that one for free again. If you show up every day, even if you're not great at it, you're gonna get results, because he just shows that. The problem is we all give up a little right before our break. So, you know, man, by the way, the comments is going crazy for you, man. Let me just read a few of it. They said, I don't think CT has to practice. His talent speaks, period. He's a natural. Thank you. They said, yo, me and the homies love your videos all the way from Japan, bro.
Yes.
All right, CT, you in the... Okay? They said, good tea. They say, CT, oh, good. I can't remember. All right, they said, everything you're talking is straight facts. All right, Shania the Muse said, drop a bomb for him. No, we're going to drop a... All right, word. Shania, that's straight facts. He's in the... All right, now let's talk to you about your viral videos, man. People say they're loving your videos. Talk to us about what it takes to be viral and what it takes to even hone into something that people are going to gravitate. Or if there is no formula to the damn madness, or if you just drop anything and it could just go viral. Talk to us about what it is. You're a part of that community.
Man, I'll tell you, man, because one of my first viral video was in 2017. It was... It was, and then it became like a couple in a row. It's like, but to give you the formula for making a viral video, it's literally being in the right place of the algorithm. The only way you can do that is by consistently posting online. You literally, like, you get some people who become a one-hit wonder. They do a video of a dance, and it's like, oh, wow, that went crazy, right? Those are the lucky ones. People who are content creators, you literally are posting every single day, and one day the algorithm hits and you get something. You can't tell when that day is going to be. You don't know how long it's going to last. But I have been posting. I'll give you one for Facebook, Instagram, both alike. So Instagram, I was shooting videos every single day for months, right? And literally month three came in, and one of those videos hit. Like, it hit like a million. And then about a month later, another video hit for 2 million, right? That's on Instagram. And Facebook, I had been posting and posting and posting, and I might have gotten 50 views or 100 views. And one day I posted a video and it literally got no views. I'm talking about, like, it got zero views, right? And I said, well, I guess since anybody see it, I might as well post it again tomorrow, right? So I'll post that same video. This video is called When You Underestimate Them Hands. It's like a compilation, right? And I posted the video on a Tuesday, no views. Posted it on Wednesday. It got 1 million views in 3 hours. That's how I knew it was just about consistency. It's not a one-time thing. Like, you're like, oh, man, maybe this one video is, like, literally, if you keep posting, people are going to react to something. It's like, let's say you don't watch Family Guy that comes on Fox, right? Let's say you don't watch it, but you see all the commercials for it. At some point, you're going to watch it because it's on. It's literally like that with content creators. You probably see the exact same people in your feed or on your Explore page every day, and you might not watch their video, but you know their face. And then one day, you'll be like, man, let me watch this video. Oh, man, this is funny. Now you're a fan. That's literally how it goes with internet content. Consistency.
Man, and it ties back into the point that you just said before, man. So it just sticks. Just stick to it. You don't even have to be great. You just have to keep doing it and keep doing it. And how much of an example? You said it has zero views.
It had zero views the day before. And it's crazy. Looking at that, bro, I wish I had, like, that's honestly the formula. On anything that you do, social media-wise, in life, if you do it every day, something is gonna happen for you. Like, these are just facts.
That's complete facts.
Yes.
All right, man. The comments is going crazy in here, man. They said, go ahead, CT. Never give up. Crazy. Stay humble. Stay hungry. Wow. Oh, they say shout out to Tangerine. I always say behind every good man is a great woman. Yeah. That putting in the work. Tangerine said, C to Don did it. Yup, that's my baby. She was saying that's insane. Super lit. But man, the comments is going crazy for you because that's definitely something we're clapping towards and just even applauding because we can't, listen, talent, some people won't gift it, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone can't stay consistent.
Right.
Everyone can't do it. Will Smith said a comment like, yo, you can be better than me, but nobody's going to outwork me because yeah. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. So whatever you think you're going to have, I'm going to have whatever I'm going to have because I'm not going to stop. So that's definitely the formula that you've obviously tapped into. So now let's go into the other side now of now when you get the consistency. Mm. And now you want to maintain branding, right? How important now is like, all right, you got the viral video and now you have people that's hooked on to your brand and they like what you do. How important is to keep the brand fresh and to keep it evolving and just to have a brand in general? How important is that?
I think it's extremely important. Like you're talking to somebody who legitimately lives within his own universe. And what I mean by that is the fan base that I say, like my fans, as you would call them, are not fans. Like they're literally family. Like when I, like you see in here, a lot of people who rock with me, they in my lives, when I'm twitching, they in the stream, when I drop a video, when I'm doing anything, you will see familiar faces because these people connect with me the most because it's literally that love and that support. And when you go to a branding circumstance, you're looking at my bubble. My bubble, you see the Raised by 90s R&B, Raised by 90s TV, like all of the things that are on my website, merchandise-wise, I pretty much stay within my own universe. So when you reach out, I'm like, hey man, I'd love to have you on the show. I'm like, okay, but it's like, it's out of my universe. So I'm like, you know what? Let me do something out of my bubble to see how everything's going with people, see how somebody else does things. Oh. Because when you have created your own brand outside of just merchandise or your shows, you can get into a place where reality isn't what you think it is, right? So if you go to Narnia, you have these superpowers, right? That's this bubble. But if you get out of Narnia and you telling people, hey, you can't hit me, I'm bulletproof, and they shoot you, you're like, oh wow, I guess I'm not bulletproof. So it's very important to have your own brand, have your own bubble and your own universe, but at the same time, it's extremely important to get out of your comfort zone so you can bring these elements back into your bubble to keep it fresh for the people who already support you. So I changed the designs up. However, certain designs don't work with certain audiences. Like I think I created a design about 2 months ago that showed me people's true hatred for Black women. And women overall, I know. So watch. So I created a shirt and it's called I'm a Product of Black Woman Wisdom, right? Upon the first 5 minutes of me posting this design, I began to see at least 10 guys comment like, what about Black men? You ain't got no father? You gonna see, they always talk about women. They don't ever talk about the men. And it's like, hey man, nobody's saying forget the men. We're actually showing love to the women right now. Can we do that? And then it's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm just saying what a love for the men, because you know what I'm saying, women and child support. And it's like it starts to show the decaying of society when it comes to people who look like us. You're always going to hear me uplifting women and especially Black women because I come from a Black woman. I was raised by Black women. Yeah. So I'm always going to have that love for them. Yeah. I don't care how much you hear me say bitch. That's my favorite cuss word. That was said all the time in my house. You understand me? But that has nothing to do with my love. And I think what society has shown me with their hatred for women and the disrespect towards Black women is, wow, it's really apparent now. Before, I used to hear women say it, and I'm like, I've never seen that because I'm surrounded by men who love Black women. But when you start to talk to the men who feel that they're below the man, then it's like, oh my God, this is a real issue. So within my bubble, I had to consistently check people who were not having love for Black women. And that, it hurt to have to say that because I'm like, bro, your mom, if you're Black, your mom is Black. If you're Latino, if you white, if you're Asian, whoever follows me, you already know Black women are at the center of so much. So to have a hate for them, I talk to Tangerine about this all the time. I'm like, yo, I had no idea how much people hated Black women. And she's like, yeah. And I just felt like my eyes opened. So to go back to your question, my branding has been very important because it became more than just about me and more about what my branding was. So it's not just about the funny or me being annoyed at things. It now becomes the things that I truly care about. Women, culture, and us as a people, not just Black people, but nerd society, like all of these different things that are rolled up in one. And if you don't have a brand that extends to more than a small amount of people, I don't think you'll survive.
Hmm. Yes,
man. Because that's how much you just dropped, all right? I needed you to understand that, man, the comments is going crazy as per usual. As soon as you say any comment, they go crazy. But, but man, they saying amen 100%. Team CT all day. It's sad but true. Realness, they saying, come on. Gotta love Black women, especially, you understand? So, man, this is important. Branding is so important. And stepping out of your bubble and stepping into mine, which is Black Culture to Break Down. Every Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard here, right here on my IG Live. But it is important to keep the brand going, and it's important to keep elevating. Like, the way that we cross paths, you know, my brand coincides with your brand, then, because I completely, the name of the show is called Black Culture to Breakdown, and you're saying you're all about uplifting Black women, the culture, and then pushing the movement forward, then this is what it's about. It's literally about networking across and making sure that we all collaborate with each other. Now, to elevate each other's brand so we can reach wider audience. And then the minute we come the majority in this thing called entertainment, then we in the money for real. All right, so now, CT, man, you dropped a lot of gems. I want to talk to you about your time on TV. You're on a show now called Family Time.
Mm-hmm.
It premieres on Bounce, correct?
Yeah, we've done 8 seasons. Jesus Christ.
Let's clap that up. 8 seasons. Talk to us about
Man, first of all, giving nothing but honor, love, and respect to Bentley Kyle Evans, who gave us all an opportunity. And when I say gave, I mean, you can't name a Black television show, or actually, let me take that back. There are few Black television shows after the year 2000 that have went more than 5 seasons. And that in itself, as soon as we hit season 6, I was like, oh, brother, we're legendary. You understand me? Bentley Kyle Evans, producer on Martin, creator of the Jamie Foxx show. And it goes right back to Jamie Foxx. The people that I thought had influenced me weren't by themselves, right? So looking at the Martin sitcom when I was a kid, I'm like, yo, this show is legendary. Martin Lawrence is my idol. However, Bentley Kyle Evans is his tag team partner. Jamie Foxx, man, I love this guy. So incredible, so talented. Then you see Bentley Kyle Evans is behind this guy. It's like, let me see. I'm starting to see a pattern here of the shows that helped me create my sense of humor this man is involved in. So Family Time comes around. Tangerine's on season 1. And I'm going to premiere with her, right? And at this time, I realized as an actor, actors come up to producers all the time and say, hey, I'm an actor. Can I get an audition? I'm blah, blah, blah. I wasn't doing that. I knew that writers get way more respect and they get through all the yellow tape in this business. Know that. So me approaching him as an actor, I knew would be dumb. So I said, I'm going to approach him as a writer. I said, hey, man, I'm a writer. I don't know if you have a writer's room that I can join, but I'd love to. He said, I don't have a traditional writer's room, but, you know, I'll keep a lookout for you. I said, hey, man, I'll write an episode of Family Time by Friday. It was a Tuesday. I was like, by Friday to show you I'm serious. He was like, you're going to write a script by Friday. Yeah, all right. And it was something about the way he said, yeah, all right. That I was like, you know what? I'm going to write 4 episodes by Friday. And he was like, yeah, okay, man. And he gave me his email. And I joke you not, Friday at noon, I had emailed him 4 of the scripts that I had written for Family Time within those days' times, right? Mm. Now, mind you, these scripts weren't formatted the best. They didn't even look like Hollywood scripts. But the fact that I had written the scripts, he responded, he said, let me tell you something, man. I'm going to read these, but I'm rocking with you off the fact that you kept your word and at the fact that you're hungry, that you showed me you really want it, right? Yeah. So fast forward, Stacey Evans Morgan, which is his sister. She's also an incredible producer and writer. You know her work from Living Single, In Full Bloom, The Parkers. Anyway, I get the opportunity to pitch an episode for Love That Girl, right? And I did the episode. I got the biggest paycheck that I had ever gotten in my life at that time, which was 10 grand from just writing a script. Yeah. And from that point, they started up the Family Time writer's room and I got a chance to be in a writer's room. Now, here's where I come into play. Corey Holcomb, who was extremely and is extremely inspirational in my life and has helped me so much in my career and becoming a man, he was on Family Time season 1, right? So Corey is filming Black Jesus. Mm-hmm. So he can't film Family Time because of scheduling, right? So we have to break his character up and create 2 different characters for the episodes that he's not going to be there. One of the characters is Donnie and the other character was Cousin Dave, right? So we create these characters and Bentley says, hey man, I want you to get some of them comedians that you know to come in here and audition for the roles of Donnie and Cousin Dave. I say, cool. So in the middle of these auditions, I'm seeing I called the funniest comedians that I knew in LA, right? So they're auditioning. And in the middle of auditioning, I'm like, I low-key might want to play this role. You know what I'm saying? I say, hey, Bent, can I read for this? He was like, yeah, but you got to go up after all your friends. Now, if you know anything about comedy, there's a momentum to it, okay? So if everybody's extremely funny, you got to keep that wave going. So I was extremely nervous because I'm like, man, these are my friends. I don't know if I could follow their funny, right? So they all audition, and then I come in after them. And mind you, in auditioning, you got to come in with something fresh, something that they haven't seen, which is extremely hard to do when I coached every one of my friends on what they should do in the audition, right? So I'm like, ah. So I go in there and I'm authentically myself. And fast forward the day and we get the news and Bentley said, you booked the job. And I say, what? So now I'm playing Donnie on this show, which was supposed to be like only 3 episodes, right? 2 or 3 episodes. So I do the episodes and the rest is history, man. Here we are, 7 seasons later. I'm still here as Donnie.
So now, talk to us about, so you were on the writing team and mm-hmm. you were also on the acting side. So now you started collecting 2 checks.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, those checks.
Man, so now, you know, talk to Black folks real quick. Black folks really want to know, and they're on here right now. They're commenting right now. As you can see, the comments is moving. All right. You mentioned that you made your first biggest check of 10 G's just for writing an episode, right? How lucrative is the acting business? Break it down to us about, you know, maybe like the biggest check that you've seen in the acting game and with comedy and how lucrative. You know, people always say, don't do this, but then when you actually get through a breakthrough and you actually start making money, what's the type of money that we're looking at so people can understand how we live it?
Honestly, man, it all goes down to the network. When you look at TV One, at the time, me writing, I wrote that script and I got 10 grand. It was a blessing. I bought a truck, paid my rent, and I think me and Tangerine did something. I don't know. Now, when we come to acting, it depends on the show that you're on. Because Family Time, that check, let me tell you something, man. That check single-handedly changed my life. Like, that show, because of it, I didn't have to work on any other shows. You know what I mean? It was such a blessing because it paid for my lifestyle. It paid bills. It paid for, let's take a trip here. It paid for another vehicle and stuff like that. However, my biggest checks didn't come from acting or writing. My biggest check came from, and this is what goes back to my universe. So my biggest check came from my social media. And that, for me, when I knew that I was doing something, let me say this to make it make sense. In 2016, I was working on a show called Hip Hop Squares, right? My great friend, and this is how incredible the Evans family has been to me, from Bentley to Stacy to now Niall. Niall Evans, producer Wildin' Out with Nick Cannon, was producing. He became a head writer at Hip Hop Squares, which was on VH1, right? He brings me in because I'm like his little brother. He's like, come on, man, I'm working, you working, let's go. So we get in there. Niall gets the opportunity to go do something else. Now I'm in charge, right? So while I'm there, a square is late, right? So they have to replace this square with somebody. And I'm like, well, look, you know, I'm also an in-camera talent. Like, what's up, you know? And they say to me, nah. I say, what? They say, no, I mean, you know, no. But they were willing to give this opportunity to someone who was also a writer on the show that was, at the time, just one of their picked favorites, right? He was in their community. So I couldn't be mad at that. But I was angry at the fact that nobody saw me. So this was towards the end of my writing career. I made a decision in that moment, because people begin to just introduce you as a writer. They're like, oh yeah, he's a writer. He works for this person and he writes with that person. And I'm like, nah, fam, I'm an all around talented performer. I can do comedy, I can act, I can do stand up, I can act everything around anybody. And they weren't respecting it. So I said, you know what? After this season, I'm done. If y'all not gonna give me a square, I'm done. Now, mind you, I'm not Will Smith. I'm not even Jada, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But when I say
no,
you have to respect what I am, which is talent personified. So I said, you know what? Let me get out of the writing. Let me create my own name. And that's where social media came in. I was at my boy BT Kingsley's Comedy Central special. He was taping. Jahan Jones was there. And Jahan was like, yo, CT, man, you gonna come shoot with me? I've been inviting you. And I'm like, you know what? Why not? And that's when I started to learn how to do sketches. And me, Jahan, my boy Tyree, Spivey, we start creating all this content. And slowly but surely, my name became bigger because my following became bigger. So now fast forward 2.5 years, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers, million plus on Facebook, I have a name now outside of my stand-up career, outside of my acting and writing. So now it came to a point where I wanted to make myself undeniable, to where you can't tell me I don't have a name. You can't tell me that people don't know who I am. You just read a comment from somebody who is in Japan that knows who I am. They didn't know who I was when I was doing writing behind the scenes on Hip Hop Squares. So fast forward with that, I got offered the opportunity to become head writer on Hip Hop Squares maybe a year or so ago. And I was like, oh, no, thank you. And they were like, what? Like, do you know how much money you'll be making and all of that? And I'm like, I'm fine. Thank you anyway, because y'all don't see me good enough to be in a square. So if you don't see me as good enough to be in a square, I shouldn't be good enough to decide the content for your show. So now, fast forward to the big paycheck. I had a paycheck, and I have no problem saying this because this is all a point that I'm making. In August, I received a check from my social media, from one of my social media pages, for $64,000 for 1 month. Okay, now this is nothing in comparison to what other content creators make. I'm sure somebody like King Batch is making $300,000 in a month, whatever the case. But this is me saying,
for a second, let's just pause. You just said you made $60,000 in 1 month for your social media.
I said I had one social media pay me $64,000.
Just correct that. $64,000 on social media page. Just clap it up for that. Okay, because some folks ain't even making 64 cents off of social media.
Yeah.
So the fact that you can even make that into thousands, my friend, you know, we just want to just clap it up on that. And now go ahead and give us the story of what the hell you was trying to say after that. But
anyway, so,
wait, just so you know, go ahead.
Say it again.
I'm all fucked up right now, but go ahead.
It's all good. And the reason I say that is, believe me, is no way, shape, or form to brag or to boast. It's to tell you that that number would not have been possible without the people who watch my content. It would not be possible without the people who support Team CT All Day. Without these people, I wouldn't have been able to make any viral video or succeed in anything, because their support is literally what has helped me succeed. So that $64,000 in a month was a circle to me to show I don't need people to tell me, hey, you can have a square. I just need people who understand my sense of humor and support me like they already do. And that in itself is the success. That's the branding. That's people believing in you. That's the hard work. That's the consistency that, and I'll give you this to go along with that. I had auditioned for a show, and it was 2 years ago. I got a call that there was a show that was going to be on Hulu, and it was supposed to be like this groundbreaking show. And the character was perfect for me. Like, everybody told the producer that I was this perfect person for the role. Fast forward through screen tests, fast forward through meetings and all of that. I'm on tour with Martin Lawrence, right? And I just did a screen test. I'm on tour with Martin Lawrence, and we're performing in Ohio. This is like 2 days before Thanksgiving, I think. And I think it was 20,000 people in an arena. I'm performing with Martin Lawrence, the person who made me want to be a comedian. And I just got done screen testing for a show that was going to change my life. I didn't get the show. I was devastated. But I realized I wasn't devastated because I didn't get the show. I was devastated because the money that was attached to that show, I didn't get. So me fast forwarding to the blessings that I've received through my fans via my videos was more than I would have made on that show. And I'm doing it my way. I'm getting a chance to create what I want to create, do exactly what I want to do, and I'm not being told what to do, and I'm not being non-supported. Like, these people are really the people that are behind me. So that, no matter what, will tell you to just follow your heart. Because if you are unhappy, whatever you're doing, you're not going to be happy. So you might as well be happy doing what you love doing, and the rest will come.
Yes.
That's a complete fact. That's a complete fact. Ah, man, you definitely dropped some facts. $64,000 in a month on one. One more time for that. Now, kind of given, by the way, they said, and that's why the create, Nicole DePaul said, and that's why the creativity and the income are the endless, because you are actually doing what you love. And that's Shania the Muse said, God had a better path for you. You know, she also said, trust God. They clapping. Gail White is saying, true. Merge making money with what makes you happy. They clap. 100. Man, everybody's giving you straight.
Yes.
Okay. Because they love everything that you got to say. Now, talk to the people again one more time. Let's close it out with this. You said you were able to make all that money on social media. What is some advice and some tips that you can give to people right now that are like, yo, I'm in a hole right now. I lost everything in this pandemic. I think I'm pretty funny, or I think I have an idea of what I can do. How can they start to learn how to monetize on social media? What's like the starter package that if you can wrap up and kind of give everybody, like, all right, this is what you start with and then grow from there. What would you tell people?
Well, the first thing I would tell you, and this is so funny, one of your guests earlier said Google, which is real. I think the funniest thing about everything that we do is nobody ever wants to read. Like, everybody wants, like I'll get messages like, hey man, I'm thinking of getting into social media, what should I do? And I'm like, literally just post a video. Like, it's easy. But to give you the standards, if you're trying to monetize on YouTube, you need 1,000 subscribers for you to start monetizing, and you need 1,000 subscribers and about, I think, 4,000 watch hours, which is literally just enough videos to where people can have watched over 4,000 minutes of your content. Facebook, you need 10,000 followers and I think the 4,000 watch hours, and the videos can be no less than 3 minutes on Facebook. On YouTube, they can be no less than 1 minute. But yeah, and on Twitch, if you want to play video games with people, you need like three, well, they'll lay it out better, but it's very attainable. And everything overall is consistency. Don't get in your head about, oh, I got an idea about this, and I want to shoot this, but I don't want it to look like that. Let me tell you something. Anything you come up with for the first 6 months is going to be trash, like facts. Like, stop thinking you're going to reinvent the wheel. Stop thinking your content is about to be groundbreaking. Just do what's great to you, whether it's funny, drama, or whatever it is. Do what's true to you and your audience will find you. I'm completely different than any other content creator. Like, I do what makes me and my friends laugh, and if you laugh at it, then come on, you one of us. But yeah, just shoot it. Like, don't be in your head. Shoot it, post it, the rest will happen.
The rest of it will happen. And just follow the formula. Now when you do hit, and when something does hit, people tend to now try to follow that same formula. Then it's like, damn, this one hit, but now why this one ain't hitting? It's like the same thing. Mm-hmm. So what's the key to making sure you hit again and again and again?
Well, diversify your content. Like, for me, let's say with sketches, and this is crazy, and this is another tribute to my fam base, man. It's like, I first started shooting sketches, and I would shoot sketches just like about relationship stuff, me and Tangerine. I would shoot stuff about just being with girls, like, you know, just me and different girls. Then I would shoot stuff where it's like this hitman assassin, Sebastian the Assassin, which is a character of mine. Then I would do all of these different things. And I had about 4 different sketches, like series, when I started. It was the stuff with Tangerine. It was the sex series. It was the Sebastian joint, Never Underestimate Them Hands, and a sketch I used to do called Blocked. And I would do all those sketches, and I would drop each of them different days of different weeks because people became fans of them. So I diversified my content. So you got people that love the stuff I do with Tangerine. Then you got the people who love Blocked or Sebastian or whatever, and you just giving them something different. If you give people too much of the same thing, you'll fade out fast. Like, I haven't shot any of those kind of sketches in almost a year. And I bet if I drop some tomorrow, the fans of those characters would like it because they haven't seen it. But if I dropped 37 Sebastian videos tomorrow, then I was like, nobody's gonna watch it because I've overdone it.
Can we challenge you to drop one of them videos before have one in each category before the year's up? Can we challenge you on that and hold you?
You know what? I actually have a promise to keep to my Patreon audience that I was going to drop the series I Know Y'all Effing on my Patreon. So I have to do that before the end of the year. So I would accept that challenge, but it would go to Patreon. Patreon, they pay, they deserve to see all of that stuff first. So yeah.
They deserve. So now talk to us about all of that. Now, how can people tap into your universe, man? You said you have this bubble and this brand that you created, and you have your merch. all of these things from the Twitches and the YouTube and all of these different platforms. How can people tap you and get to be a part of your Patreon and your universe?
Well, man, if anybody comes to anywhere you see my content, whether that be Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, every video that I post has the link to find everything that I do. Huh?
You on TikTok?
I am on TikTok, believe it or not. I got like 5 videos there. I was like, let me try it. Why not? But if they're on Instagram, the link tree in my bio takes you everywhere. If they're on YouTube, the end of my videos tell you how to find merchandise, how to follow me everywhere, and to follow the people in my videos. Like, all of these things were by design because I enjoy telling people to read. You know what I mean? Like, I make it so easy for you that if somebody emails me and was like, hey, man, how do I find your merchandise? I'm like, what? Like, how did you find my website? That's how you find the merchandise. It's right there. But, you know, so if people just click everywhere that they see me, they'll find it all.
Okay. Well, man, CT, man, you were super dope, man. You came on great gems for us, man. And we chopped it up, believe it or not, for about 35 minutes. And you just gave us everything we needed, man, to even just kind of get started in the social media realm, man. Now, let everybody know what you got going on next, man, and what we should be on the lookout for.
Well, hopefully I pass this COVID test, and I'm going to be shooting a CBS show this week. So we'll see what those results say. But other than that, I'm just, honestly, man, I'll be on Twitch probably 3 or 4 days a week, streaming video games, talking to the squad, and everything else. I try to stay home, bro. I try to be on this recliner, enjoying myself. Content, I'd love to say more content is coming soon for Facebook and YouTube, but Patreon, everything is new there every week. I got 3 different shows there. We got the show, BT Kingsley and myself, Kingsley Crew versus Team CT, where we debate whose list is better. We'll say something like Friday versus next Friday. I do the Marriage Go Round podcast with Tangerine. It comes on every week. And I do the real CT After Dark every Friday night. That's for the Patreon people. I don't want to go into it because I know my mom is watching. So, yeah, that's all that.
All right, CT, man. Well, you are definitely a culture star, man, because you are definitely in charge of your content, even though you're on TV. But you write, you act, you're a content creator, you're a merch, you're an entrepreneur, you're a brand, man. You're a universe, man. So we appreciate you coming on here and dropping in the straight facts.
Thanks for having me, man.
Of course, man. I appreciate you coming on, man. We're going to see you soon. Don't be a stranger on the show. Anytime you got something new coming on, come on here and talk to us about it, bro.
Sounds like a plan, man. Blessings, bro.
Blessings, man. We'll definitely stay connected, man. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, bro. All right, so that was CT, y'all. Come on, he's dropped straight facts. Make sure y'all definitely follow CT, if y'all wasn't. Everybody saying awesome. Everybody clapping it up. I appreciate all y'all. We had a dope episode. It's almost done. All right, so y'all, if y'all haven't followed me, make sure y'all follow me at The Only Jersey. Great interview, babe. Yes, CT definitely did a great job. Tangerine, we definitely appreciate you. If you guys don't follow me, again, follow me at The Only Jersey. This is Black Culture The Breakdown. I am out of here. We'll see y'all next week. We've got a super dope episode. Don't want to miss it. See y'all later.